Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. I know we said last week that we'd take a look at this chapter, and whatever we got to, that's fine, and whatever we didn't, we didn't. But I do want to look at the last part of this chapter again, if that's okay. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 18. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Lord, help us to understand your word today, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The reason why I'm back here in Isaiah chapter 1, I misspoke last week. I'm sure you caught the error. I talked about the Statue of Liberty, and I described her as being blindfolded and holding in one hand a pair of balances. And obviously that's wrong. I used the term Statue of Liberty, but it's Lady Justice. I'm sorry I misspoke, but in courthouses everywhere, all across the country, you'll see her image, Lady Justice. But everything else I said last time is true, and I meant it. That justice should be blind. It shouldn't matter what color, or what gender, or what age, or whatever, or how much money the person's got in the bank, or how many bills they got stacked up. It shouldn't matter. Our justice should be blind. And certainly God's justice, he doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor. He doesn't care. And we ought to be like him. And a lot of problems in this country would just simply go away if our justice in our heart and what comes out of our mouth and what have you was that kind of justice. Not playing favorites. I hope you understand what I mean. But this chapter, Isaiah chapter 1, and again, we're trying to study the book of Malachi, and I'll start reading in chapter 1 in just a minute. But since I had to revisit this chapter because of my misstatement, let's look at it again. And I won't read all of it. The last verse 24 to 31 talks of judgment and righteousness and restoration, but it speaks to the Jews and how their kingdom and everything that they ever had will be restored to them as at the first, it says in verse 26. But it's looking forward to the time when Jesus returns. The King of the Jews returns and sets up his kingdom that will never pass away. And Jerusalem will be his throne. And Israel at the top of the heap once again. It's a wonderful promise, but I want to back up just a few verses. Verse 21 through 23. And if you listened last time, you know that this is a hard chapter with strong language. But it says in verse 21, "How is the faithful city become a harlot? or a prostitute or a whore. It was full of judgment. Right judgment. Good judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. That's where goodness and righteousness lived in Jerusalem. But God says now it's full of murderers. Thy silver is become dross, or impurity, and thy wine mixed with water. You got good booze, good JD, or good whatever, scotch, it's all watered down, something you don't want. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. Well, preacher, I love a gift. I like to get a gift. Yeah, but it's talking about bribes. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and follows after more bribes, rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Gifts or bribes run Washington. That's the nation. But bribes run Baton Rouge, or the capital of our state. And bribes run City Hall. You know, when taking the oath of office, New Orleans politicians should also be read their Miranda rights. Oh, this person got elected. Oh, what do you know? This person's going to jail. It's not right. We have a lot of problems in New Orleans. Crooked politicians shouldn't be one. It just shouldn't be. Okay, that's my public service announcement for the day, I guess. But let's take a look at Malachi chapter 1. And we're going to go through the whole book. But it says, Malachi 1 verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Malachi is the one that wrote this book. Malachi is the man that God spoke to and said, go preach. He's a prophet. He hears from God and says what God says. He doesn't color it. He doesn't try to make it palatable. He doesn't smooth the rough edges off. Well, I know God said to call out these crooked politicians, but I don't want to make waves. I don't want to get nobody mad at me. I just won't mention it. No, a prophet says what God says, no more, no less. But it says the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. We don't use the word burden in America, not anymore. It's common. If you think in the Middle East or whatever, they have camels, and not Lexus, they have camel. But if you have stuff, your stuff, your clothes, your whatever, the things that you're going to take to market, maybe it's a bundle of grapes or figs or I don't know what, but you load the camel down, and the baggage, the stuff, is known as a burden. We perhaps heard the term beast of burden. In fact, as I mentioned it, I've got the Rolling Stones in my head. So it's a common, or used to be a common phrase, a burden. You see, God spoke to this prophet. And God speaks today, hopefully, to any number of preachers, pastors, evangelists, what have you. He puts a word on their heart, and it's often a heavy word. And the preacher, the man of God, carries this burden with him, and he prays. Maybe it's a message to the city, or maybe it's a message to the church that he pastors, or whatever. But if God speaks to a man on Monday or Tuesday, and he's got to preach on Sunday, he prays all week. He carries that burden in his heart, the burden of the word of the Lord. Now, Malachi, he was a prophet to Israel, but this idea, this phrase, is used in Isaiah, for instance. Chapter 15, the burden of Moab. In Isaiah chapter 17, the burden of Damascus. And I'll read this one because it's short. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. No longer a great city, but just a pile of junk and rubble. Now there's other verses, but I've read that verse, Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1. Isaiah 19, go two more chapters, the burden of Egypt. And other chapters, the burden of Duma. And God addresses Moab, or Damascus, or Egypt, or Duma, or whatever. Oftentimes, God will send a prophet to a foreign nation, Jonah, for instance, with a message. But in Malachi's case, he was sent with a burden in his heart to Israel. But let's read on. Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet ye say, or Israel responds, saying, where have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom or Esau said, we are impoverished, we're just flat broke, busted flat in Baton Rouge, would have you, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord has indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and they shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Okay, preacher, who's Esau? Well, you understand Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Jacob had a brother named Esau. And in other places it's called Edom. It's another name, maybe a nickname for Esau. I'm not exactly sure where it came from. But I want to say that this question in answer and rebuttal format. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? It's seen throughout Malachi and in other places it's used. Question and answer format. But Paul, in Romans chapter 9, he had taken a number of chapters talking about salvation by grace through faith. And he's pretty much done, but he continues on getting specific about Israel. And in Romans 9, verse 9 through 16, I suppose, for this is the world of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah, or Sarai, was Abraham's wife. And you can go back into Genesis and read all of this, and it's chapter after chapter. But Isaac was the son of promise. About this time, Sarah will have a son. And not only this, Paul said, but then Rebekah, which is Isaac's wife. When Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. And he says, for the children not being yet born, they didn't do any good or evil, but that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And it said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And it goes on a few more verses talking about God's mercy and what have you. I'm sure that when Paul wrote the book of Romans in this chapter, he had a look at what Malachi had to say in addition to the actual text in Genesis. So this, I've loved Jacob, but I hated Esau. Paul said it's a distinction between a religion of works, where you do things to get God's attention, you do things to make him happy or proud of you or overlook your faults or whatever the case, versus grace, God's unmerited favor. God's mercy just given to you. God loves faith. God wants belief. He wants trust. He wants us to serve him because we love him and because we trust him and we believe the Bible. We believe the gospel as it's preached. But a religion of works, well, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. God hates religion. And I've talked about that before. Just a couple of months ago, I went over that. You can't go to church and do things and earn salvation. You can't give to charity or whatever, or put in the bucket on Sunday morning and get God's favor. Because salvation is by grace, God's unmerited favor. You get God's grace and mercy and kindness and compassion and all those things on the basis of, hey, you don't deserve it. But if you try and earn, that's just not the way it works. You come by faith and not by works. And again, I've preached on that just a few months ago. But going back to Malachi, this is Malachi's burden. And he says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. And God says, if then I'm a father, where's my honor? It's a good thing when the son does what the father says. He's proud of his son. His mom is proud of her son. But if the kid lives like the devil, gets hooked on drugs, does stupid stuff, ends up in jail, the father hangs his head and he's ashamed of his son. God says, if I'm God the Father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my fear or respect? says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. You know, I'm an evangelist. I have pastored churches. And as you know, I do a lot of teaching now. The Bible mentions priests, but after Jesus went to the cross and the tomb and rose up from the dead, the concept of priests as ministers of God, it simply doesn't exist. Now, there's a whole sermon I could preach that Christ is the end of the law, as Paul said, to everyone that believes, and that Christ fulfilled everything the Old Testament priests did. I know that the church down the road, Catholic Church, maybe some other Episcopal, whatever, they have what they call priests, but they're not real priests. Now, they can get mad at me, or you can get mad at me, but priests are an Old Testament idea, not a Christian idea. But, you know, go ahead and get mad at me. But Malachi's burden in this first chapter, and probably the second, I think, his concern is the priests. That God says these priests despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? God says you offer polluted bread on my altar. And you say, where have we polluted? We don't understand. Where have we polluted thee? We don't know what you're talking about. In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Take that and offer it now to the governor. See if the governor's going to be pleased with lame and sick. Now, what he's talking about, again, this is Old Testament. The priests, they would take lambs and goats and a bullock and what have you, and doves and other things, and offer them in sacrifice to God. The idea being that this innocent animal gave its life so that your sins could be washed away. And you say, well, that don't make no sense. Well, we understand that the innocent lamb Jesus gave his life that our sins could be washed away. And we'll pick it up here next week. But God says that the priests, instead of taking healthy lambs and what have you, and making an offering, presenting it to God and saying, hey, on the basis of this sacrifice, please forgive sin. They would take a blind sheep, or one that had a busted leg and couldn't walk, or had some kind of sickness or cold, or I don't know what animals get. He says it's evil. He says it's not right. These were corrupt men of God, supposedly men of God, corrupt priests, just like corrupt politicians, I suppose. But we'll pick it up next week right here.
Lord of Because you
been listening to the Joey Kelly broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.